Hello, 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 and welcome to the local edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. Thank you so much for joining me on a Friday. In the second half of the show, we'll be talking to the one and only Chris Rowley from the Shawangunk Journal, letting us know what's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. But first, the clock is ticking for the federal government to avoid a government shutdown tonight. Yesterday, Senate leaders reached a deal with the White House on a massive spending package after Democrats pushed for reforms to ICE following national outrage over the deaths of Alex Peretti and Renee Good. Both were U.S. citizens killed by federal ICE agents. Radio Catskills' Kimberly Izar spoke to New York's 19th Congressional District Representative Josh Riley this morning about where the federal package is and the impact Minneapolis escalating immigration raids are having locally.
Things have been moving very quickly, even just in the last, 24 hours. It's being reported that Senate Democrats have struck a deal with President Trump on this federal spending package. What is the latest on this set of spending bills, and what is creating this crunch in the first place?
Yeah, well, the deal that came over from the Senate last night, I'm going to review it in detail today, but my understanding is that it will allow for funding of all of the government except for the Department of Homeland Security, which funds ICE. And that part of the government will get basically a two-week extension so that all the parties can try to work out a deal to reform what's happening with our immigration system. And that's really the crux of this. And the main thing is what we've seen in Minneapolis over the last couple of weeks is just shows what I've been saying all along, which is that our immigration system is just so completely broken in this country. I was very, very critical of the Biden administration because I thought they were too weak on border security. I'm now holding the Trump administration accountable because I think they're acting unconstitutionally and recklessly. And so the essence of this is this government funding situation. We have a deal on basically 11 out of 12 parts of the federal government, and there's going to be a two-week extension to try to work out reforms on the immigration component.
Last week, you voted no on the spending bill as is to fund DHS as President Trump. We're seeing ramps up these immigration enforcement activities, not only in Minneapolis, but also throughout the country. You described on social media the administration's ICE operations as, quote, out of control. What kind of local impact do you think these fatal killings of Renee Good and Alex Peretti by ICE agents are having on your constituents locally?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I think there's a lot of fear, and under very much understandably so. I think it's just really important to, and I think everybody knows this, but the vast majority of immigrants in our community are hardworking, law-abiding folks who are paying their taxes and contributing to our communities. And I think there's a huge amount of fear amongst that population based on what we've been seeing. At the same time, I've always said, and I believe if you're here unlawfully and you're committing crimes, then you need to be removed. But the way to do that is through the responsible law enforcement and through constitutional means. And so, I sat down with a bunch of folks from law enforcement over the last couple of days, asked them for advice and counsel on all of this. And, they reminded me, around here, the way our law enforcement works, it's the trust of the community is the single most important thing. And our law enforcement around here spends so much time engaging with the community, becoming part of the community. And that's just not what we're seeing in Minnesota with agents wearing masks, the shootings we've seen. The thing that I've just been like carrying with me is this story about this 6-month-old baby who was tear gassed. I mean, my God, in America, that's just not who we are. We need to see these reforms.
There is a risk of a partial government shutdown if the package isn't passed by you know, today at 11:59 p.m. How exactly would a shutdown affect New Yorkers?
Well, I think in this case, my understanding of the deal that got passed last night, and again, I have to look at it in detail today, is that we will be able to avoid, or we at least should be able to avoid a shutdown. So most of the government has already been funded through budget agreements that we reached a month ago or more. Including one that was really, really important for our community that I made a top priority is funding the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development to make sure SNAP and nutrition assistance, for example, are available. As of last night, my understanding is there's 12 parts of the federal budget. And as of last night, my understanding is that there's agreement on 11. And so, and that last one, that 12th one, will just get a 2-week extension to sort it out. So my hope is that we will not be in a government shutdown situation here.
And the massive spending package still needs to pass in the House. How likely do you think that would happen with the changes that we heard yesterday?
Yeah, so that's right. So there's like 5 or 6 pieces of this, and I think the vast majority of it is actually widely bipartisan and non-controversial. And my hope, my expectation, what I'm going to be pushing for is for those things that we can agree on and that have broad bipartisan support, let's get those done. And then let's focus on the debate that we need to have over immigration reform. That package that is widely bipartisan and really I hope we're able to get done includes one of my top priorities over the last year was providing funding for bulletproof vests for our local law enforcement. That provision is in there, and I really want to see that get across the finish line. I was also able to secure funding, a few $100,000, for some affordable housing in the Catskills. One particular historic preservation project in Pine Hill that I'm really excited about. So I'm hoping we're able to get everything done that we agree on, and then we have some time to sort out our differences on the immigration component of it.
Also, another thing happening today, people are calling for a national general strike. No school, no work or shopping. And this is, according to organizers, to protest the nationwide immigration raids and to stop ICE funding. Do you have any thoughts on the strike and the message that you think it might send?
Well, I think, I know we're actually getting my son ready for school now, but, I do understand, and I've heard the sentiment. I mean, there's just a lot of outrage, rightfully, and fear and concern about the way, ICE has been operating. And, you know, look, this is just one of those things where you turn on the TV and you see images of Americans being shot in the streets. You read about this story about this 6-month-old baby who got tear gassed. You hear these stories about law enforcement operating without warrants. And I don't see this as a political thing. It's just not who we are as Americans. It's just not who we are. And so people are doing what we've done for centuries in this country and stand up and protest and make their voices heard. And I think that's really important. And I think it's having an impact as we've now seen all the parties forced to the table to have a real serious grown-up conversation about what immigration enforcement should look like.
We've been chatting with Representative Josh Riley on the latest on the federal spending bill and the local impact what we're seeing in Minneapolis is having at a local level. Representative, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, happy to do it. Always love chatting with you and looking forward to next time.
Thank you, Kimberly, for that report. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We're going to check in with Chris Rowley from the Shawangunk Journal, letting us know what's happening in Ulster County. It's Friday on the Local Edition, and I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. The shooting death of Alex Preti in Minneapolis by federal authorities has sparked national outrage and a debate about the future of immigration enforcement, not to mention American democracy. But how are residents of the Twin Cities feeling, and what message do they have for the rest of the country? Join me and Minnesota Public Radio's Catherine Richard for a special town hall from Minnesota from NPR News and the Middle.
Monday evening at 6 here on Radio Catskill.
Even though incomes have kept up with inflation, it's probably the case that more people have had to compromise on their life goals or stare down the possibility of compromising on their life goals. You simply may not be able to have a home. You may not be able to send your kid to college. That's how it feels.
I'm Natalie Kitroev. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
So here's the deal. Public radio is now operating without federal funding, and your support matters more than ever. One way to help is to donate that car, truck, or old motorcycle in your driveway. You clear out some space and help keep trusted news coverage alive in your community. The process? Simple, free, even tax deductible. Just head to this station's website and help us keep this work going together.
Donate your car, boat, or motorcycle at wjffradio.org.
Welcome back to the Local Edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. On the phone with us now is the one and only Chris Rowley from the Shuwankuk Journal, letting us know what's happening in Elmville and Ulster County. Chris, welcome back to the show. One of the things we were talking about off-air is the Elmville NAACP had their annual meeting. Just want to start off with there and see what they have planned for this upcoming events, and what was the meeting all about, of course.
It was NAACP having their annual meeting, a big meeting, and they got quite a good crowd. And this was held at the Trudy Farber building in Elmville, which is a great thing to have. That building is sort of coming back into full-time use, which is good. It means that Elmville has a selection of places now, public spaces that you can have meetings and gatherings in, like the library, the Trudy Farber building, the Common Good, bookshop and bar. You know, there are places where people can come and they can do things. That's great. So anyway, this one was more than that. They had invited the Reverend Elizabeth Estes and Victoria Berrios down from Kingston. These people work for the Ulster Immigrant Defense Network, the UIDN. She is the clergy spokesperson, and Berrios works with both UIDN and the Ulster Rapid Response Group. And basically what they're doing is they're preparing just in case there's an ICE sort of invasion here in Ulster County. ICE has been here. They are active, but we haven't seen anything like we've seen in Minnesota. Nothing like that kind of invasion. But if it happens, they're getting ready to defend. Yeah.
Is there any talk, because we've done reporting and before the interview, we're going to have Josh Riley on, talk about a little bit about this. But, we're following the story of what's happening in Chester, New York, where there is a proposed ICE facility. ICE is looking to take over a old Pep Boys warehouse in Chester. And there was a protest last night. It's been ongoing protests to try to keep ICE out of Chester.
Yeah, well, that's an Orange County story. You know, this is a nationwide situation. It's hard to know. We don't really touch on national stories very much. This one, probably, inevitably, we will as a local paper. We have a variety of Latin communities in Elmville. There's a Puerto Rican community, there's a Mexican community, we have a whole group of them, Dominicans, and I know that they're all a little different. They're not all the same by any means, but members of those communities may be under threat. And, if they are, then we'll have to be covering whatever happens. And the Ulster Immigrant Defense Network is gearing up to be able to defend them.
Yeah.
Obviously, primary focus is Kingston, but there could be work down here. So Reverend Estes, who's a very good speaker, you know, she's a, come on, she's a priest. So, you know, she's used to sermons. She began with the story of the wedding at Cana, which everybody has heard of, if, even if they haven't read it and don't really quite know what went on. But this is where, in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, 1 to 12, where Jesus turned water into wine, supposedly. I mean, this is a miracle that is often quoted. His mother came to him during the celebrations to say, we're out of wine. Come on, son, do something. I don't know how this can be done. Anyway, and he did. And so they had plenty of wine for the festivities, that thing. What she said, though, is that what this comes to is at some point, Jesus says to his mother, my hour has not yet come. This is not my story. But she was sort of urging him to become more public, and he wasn't ready for that. And she was saying, posing the problem that when do we get involved? At what point, when stuff starts to happen, do we move from just sort of watching it right. to getting in and protesting against it or in favor of it, whatever it is? You know, and that is kind of where the whole country is gradually being pulled by this administration and its policies. So anyway, she gave that was her approach and her speech. And she concluded with Martin Luther King's assumption of the, what I'm calling the mantle and the cause of civil rights, which was not instantaneous. It wasn't like he sort of, you know, picked up the cross and went. Mm-hmm. It took him a few goes around before he got into it. And I'm not entirely clear on it, but I believe he went to a protest march, and there was violence. They were attacked, and a young 16-year-old girl was killed. Wow. And he grieved for that, and he went back and he thought about it hard. You know, do I want to be involved in this? There was no escape. There was no way for Martin Luther King to dodge it, and so he ended up taking up the cause and you know, getting things going for the Civil Rights Act, and eventually being assassinated. So she made those points. And Victoria Berrios said that basically Ulster Rapid Response began in January 2015, and it's a network, and they have fiscal sponsors, and they're spreading out at the grassroots level to, you know, all the areas in Ulster County where there are concentrations of Latinos of various kinds. And as a protective thing, just in case. It may not come to anything, but we don't know.
Yeah.
And we'll have to wait and see. And they have a way for people to become witnesses, and there are training sessions, how to identify federal agents and what are your particular rights. You know, if you're out in the street, do you have the right to pick out your phone and make video? I believe you do. That's something you might want to know more detail on. And how to distinguish local police from ICE agents. If you aren't familiar with police, that might be something you'd hesitate over. Right. Someone like, you know, me, I mean, I see our police all the time. I know what local police look like, and I know what ICE agents look like, so I'm not going to confuse them. But somebody who's not really interacted with police might be confused, and so right. that's another issue. So they're working on all those things, and that was good. So it was a pretty good event. For that kind of thing, getting people aware of various issues.
Okay, let's move right along here. There's an update in the Ellenville Board of Trustees. What can you tell us about that?
As the Board of Trustees, following the elections and following the appointment of Victoria Messner to the board by Mayor Trent, there is now a majority of women on the board. And as Trent said, it's a majority of mothers. This is the first time, probably in history for the village anyway, that has had a majority on the Board of Trustees of mothers, one of whom I know has five kids. So they know maternity, these people, which is great.
Right.
So they're on the board, and you know, this is a moment just to take notice of that. The changes are coming. That was one story. And the other thing, that we should talk about is Ellenville, after years and years. I mean, I don't know if people know any of the detail of this, but So many years ago, Ellenville scored a $2 million grant to basically winterize and prepare a basement for an emergency shelter. And it's emergency shelter for any event that some catastrophe happens, such as, you know, flooding or something like that. That's all very well, but that's for actual emergency, in which case the Red Cross takes over and brings its own people and takes over the shelter and mans it and staffs it up. But the village does not have the money to have full-time staff there all the time. So it's been empty for years. And people have always saying, you know, oh, we spent all that money and what do we got? Well, now we've got a warming center. In the critical time of the year, when it's really, really cold, the Ellenville Warming Center, which is underneath the Hunt Memorial Building on Liberty Square, is open. It opens at 5 in the afternoon and it runs till 9 o'clock the next morning. And you can get a meal in there, you can share, and they have cots with sleeping bags and blankets. For any of those tragedies, which aren't necessarily just for poor people, I mean, you could be doing very well and have a nice house, and then, you know, some disaster happens with your boiler.
Yeah.
You have to drain the water and get out of there. Where are you going to go? So it's for anybody, but it's particularly for anybody who is actually unhoused and they'll be taken care of. And I checked it out, went down for a visit, and it looks really nice, actually. I mean, it's bare bones. It's a bare wood floor and so on and so on, but it did look pretty nice to me. So that's a good story because it's finally done. It's taken a long time. Now, last winter, it was open for like 6 weeks at the end of the winter on the Ellenville Regional Hospital's dime. They got some money from the county, and the hospital staffed it, and they ran it for 6 weeks. This year, though, there's a deal with Seconda Iglesia in Kingston, which I'm told is what's that kind of church? It's a Protestant church.
Right.
It's a Pentecostalist.
Pentecostal, okay.
Yeah, Pentecostal church, very active in the community, lots of things going, and they've stepped in and they're providing the staffing. So they're staffing it. The county is coming up with the money for it all, and the village is really, really glad that finally this shelter is being used every day for this purpose. So that was a good story as well. Finish it out. And I know we're heading into a very cold week. If anybody is, you know, in really dire trouble, you know, get on down to Liberty Square. And the entrance is at the back of the building, next to the ramps. Go in that door, and you'll go straight into the shelter.
No, and I said it's perfect. I don't say perfect timing, but it's glad that you know the reasons why the center was going to be open or is for things like this for the community's use, and it's perfect timing. It was this extreme wind chill cold that's going to come that's here today, and it's going to be with us until Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal, you know. This is always the season when if you've got a cranky boiler, just when it goes out.
Right. Well, that's why you got to try to service the boiler before the winter happens. But of course, that's always hindsight. Sometimes
it is worth the extra $120 or whatever it is in the summertime to have the guy look at your boiler, give it a clean, you know, go over it and tell you, oh, you need this, but then you get them and you get it done. And then with any luck, you get through the winter without any disasters. There is nothing worse than when the temperature is shattering down towards zero and you're feeling a chill in the air and you look, what's going on? You go down, you press the red button and nothing happens. And the boiler is defunct for the moment.
Yeah,
that's a very bad moment. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that I'm fortunate. Our company has got the one that we use is an old line Ellenville company, Goldsmith Fuel Oil, and they have guys who come up in almost all conditions. I mean, in blizzards they show up.
Wow.
To take a look and fix things. Yeah, now they're really good.
You're fortunate, and thankfully, you know, and you also got to watch out. Always, when it gets colder, there's always these chimney fires because some of these people who start to use the wood stoves. who haven't cleaned the chimney. And then, you know, that I remember covering when I used to be newspaper solely, covering those a lot during the winter, just those chimney fires.
Yeah. Well, sometimes sometimes it's because they haven't used it.
Right.
So this chimney hasn't been used in years, even a decade or so. And suddenly it's full of who knows what. Could be bats in there. Could be squirrels, you know, all sorts of things. And then you light a fire without thinking. And all the accumulation in there, plus any pine residue from when it was done, whatever, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I tell you, if you've ever had one of those, it sounds like you've got a missile taking off in the middle of the house.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Oh. Yeah, because it's all going up and it makes a kind of a roar and it sucks air through that fireplace or the stove or whatever. And it's a scary thing. Yeah. Oh, God. Woo. Yeah. So anyway, be safe. Don't light anything in the fireplace unless you know that it's clean. And
Good luck. Yep. Get him layers and stuff like that. So we were talking to Chris Rowley from the Schwanka Journal letting us know what's happening in Ellerville and Ulster County. Chris, again, thank you so much for this, and stay warm this weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okie dokie. Right. Bye now.
And that does it for the local edition on this Friday evening. Thank you to our first report from Kimberly Izar, and again, thank you so much to Chris Rowley. Remember, there is a cold weather advisory. It remains in effect until 9 a.m., much of central New York and northeast Pennsylvania, which includes Sullivan County. Wind chills could drop as low as 15 to 25 below. And those temperatures, frostbite can happen in as little as 30 minutes on exposed skin, and prolonged time outdoors can lead to hypothermia. Actual air temperatures will fall below zero overnight through Sunday morning. The extended cold could also cause pipes to freeze or burst. Daytime highs will improve slightly, reaching 5 to 15 degrees above zero. It will still feel bitterly cold. So, if you're heading outside, bundle up with layers, hats, gloves, limit your time outdoors, keep pets inside as much as possible. And all for the latest updates, stay tuned to Radio Catskill or visit our website at radiocatskill.org. Again, I've been your host for this evening, Patricio Robayo. Everyone else out there, stay safe out there. Stay warm. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, take care of yourself. I'll talk to you soon.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Hemlock Never Sink, offering a Catskills wellness experience featuring a full-service spa, offering day passes, 33 guest rooms, a restaurant, and retreats year-round. HemlockNeverSync.com. From The Calicoon Theater, an updated vintage movie theater with new film releases, live music, and more. Information and schedule at CalicoonTheater.com. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Hey, I'm Kimberly Izar, host of Farming Country. So I have some good news. There is still time to see the migrating bald eagles this winter. This week, Rosie Starr sits down with Don Hamilton, retired National Park Service resource manager, about what draws eagles to the Upper Delaware River.
I've always thought it was quite amazing how far some of these birds come from to this important wintering habitat we have here.
That's this week on Farming Country, Saturday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
These people will kill you. I've never experienced, I guess I would call it communism up close.
In Minneapolis, right-wing content creators agitate for tape to change the narrative after the murder of Alex Preti by federal agents.
They take this video and they hold it up to the federal government and say, here you go, this is the proof that you were looking for.
On this week's On the Media from WNYC.
Saturday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
Looking for things to do? Check out Radio Catskill's community calendar. Find out what's happening or submit your own event. The community calendar at WJFFradio.org.
WJFF